Revelation chapter 18 verse 20 all the way to chapter 19 verse 10. This is the reading of God's word. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you, his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of great multitude and like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word that we know God, you and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and we know what you have done and what you have accomplished for us. Let us hear your word, grant us an ear to hear your word, and let us have fellowship with you even as we hear your word. And as we hear your word, cause us to grow and grow in Jesus Christ. Let us be more and more like your Son. And let us imitate him in everything that we do in our lives, in the life of the church. O Father, receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We saw these verses last time, and we will continue to look at them. And as we have seen last time, there is a wedding in heaven, Jesus is the husband and the church is his bride. We are to witness that reality through our marriage here on earth. That's what Christian marriage is all about. Of course, you know, husband and wife, they are to love one another, but they have purpose even as they love one another. It is to witness the reality of heaven. And that is what God has shown to us through the story of creation of Adam and Eve. And we saw this, so not going to get into detail today. But there are a few more things we must see from Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. Let us go there, because I have something more to say from those verses. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to him, her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, Eve is the body of Adam, just like the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Eve is created through the deep sleep which points to death of Adam, just like the church is recreated through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man is to leave his parents to be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, just like Christ left his father to be joined to his wife, the church, and Christ and the church became one spirit. And I want you to concentrate on verse 24. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Listen very carefully to what God says. Man shall leave his father and mother. Among many things we learn from this verse, the relationship between husband and wife is the first in importance. It is first, then, even the relationship between a man and his parents. What relationship comes first? The relationship between husband and wife. Man is to leave his parents, but he is never to leave his wife. We are not saying that we should ignore all other relationships, but we must understand the order of importance according to the Bible. And here we are talking about the earthly relationship. Of course, our relationship with God is the first. Given that, we're talking about earthly relationships. The relationship between husband and wife is the most deep and the first. It is the relationship in which they become one. No other relationship is described as becoming one in a sense that we talk about in the relationship between husband and wife. Of course, you know, we could say we're one, but not the intimate oneness of husband and wife. No other relationship is more central. Not even your parents can come between you and your wife. You know, there is such thing even in this secular world, mama's boy. Don't marry mama's boy. You know, when you and your man has a problem, this man will go to their mama rather than solving the problem with you. Everything is about, you know, his mom or his dad. I mean, nothing wrong with that until you get married. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Understand that. I think so many people have marriage problems because they just don't get what this verse is saying. You know, some man, it's not about what his wife wants. It's all about what his dad or his mom wants. That's not biblical. Of course, you need to respect your mom and dad even after you get married. And of course, you need to obey them. But there is a relationship that is more deep and more intimate. And he says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. Yes, one body physically, but also emotionally joined. Husband and wife. The ultimate love and affection. Here, again, we are talking about earthly relationship. The ultimate love and affection is between God and us. The ultimate love and affection are for God, and even as husband and wife, loving one another is to obey and love God. Husband is to be completely satisfied with his wife and not seek another woman. It is an exclusive relationship. No other person can replace her as long as she lives. Of course, if she dies, then you can marry again. Exclusive. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Mutual love and protection. And I think this point is especially important to Asian guys. Because so many of them act like his wife is always secondary. That is not what the Bible teaches us. It's your wife first, then any other relationship. But it says they shall become one flesh. Opposed to one spirit. So what does it say? It says that the relationship is not forever. Even though it is the ultimate relationship as far as the earthly relationships are concerned, it still is not forever relationship. It is not perfect relationship. It is earthly. And we need to remember that. Yes, we are to love our wives or our husband. But some people go too far, as if it is the eternal ultimate relationship. No. is still earthly because your wife is not your wife when we go to heaven. That's why it's one flesh. It doesn't say one spirit. But Jesus and his church becomes one spirit, which is eternal, forever relationship. So this earthly relationship points to the perfect and eternal marriage in heaven. You are not to forget that. As we have seen last time, God is the husband from the very beginning. He loves us so much. But we have sinned against God and rejected him as our husband and played a harlot, a prostitute, with Satan and this world. And I want to read to you so many verses today from Old Testament. God describing our sins as playing harlot or playing a prostitute. But before I do that, I want you to understand that God reveals himself as a jealous God. He's jealous God. Now, let's read a few verses. Now, follow along. We're going to read many verses today. Exodus chapter 20, and when I find it, I'll just start reading. I'm not going to wait until everybody finds it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Here, God clearly says he is a jealous God. Go to chapter 34, Exodus 34, verse 11. Be sure to observe what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorites before you, and the Canaanites, and Hittites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. But rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Otherwise, you might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they would play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and some of my invite you to eat of his sacrifice, and you might take some of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters might play the harlot with their gods, and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods. Do you see it? God's name is jealous. And this name is given, and always the context where this name is given is all about worshiping other idols. Let me read to you a few more. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. So watch yourself that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a given graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you, for the Lord your God is consuming fire, a jealous God. Chapter 6, verse 13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you, for the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. Chapter 32, one more place. Chapter 32, verse 16. They made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. Go down to verse 21. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So first thing you need to understand is God is jealous God. Now, of course, in human terms, being jealous is sin many times because, you know, we're sinful beings. But if God truly loved us, then he has to be jealous God. I mean, think about it. Even in human relationships, if your wife is not jealous when your husband, when the husband looks at other woman, or, you know, vice versa, then there is no true love there. You don't care. If you love somebody and if that person is loving someone else, you are jealous because you love that person. So nothing wrong with this, God being jealous. Obviously, he has to be, because he truly, truly loves us. The Israelites forsook God and lived as a harlot. And remember, in the Old Testament Israelites, we see ourselves. There are so many passages in the Old Testament describing the sins of Israelites as playing a harlot or prostitute. And I want to read to you many passages to show you how God sees our sins. We already read Exodus 34, verses 11 through 16, so we'll skip that. Go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. They shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons, with which they play the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute to them throughout their generation. So again, sacrificing to an idol, God described as playing a harlot. Go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 4. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Molech, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut off from among his people. Yeah, I know these days some people, they look at horoscopes and, you know, seeking this guidance apart from God. They, you know, call these people who read their palms and, you know, this kind of stuff. Playing harlot. Because only guide in your life is God. And He has given you His word to guide you. You are to follow Him, but when you don't do that, you're playing the harlot. Numbers 15, verse 38. Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner of cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you play the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and holy, be holy to your God. Now again, understand, I'm trying to, I picked these verses so that when you read them, you will understand what kind of sins God is talking about when He says you are playing the harlot. Now here, just following your own desires, evil desires. So lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye is playing the harlot. Yeah? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your father, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." Go to Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bow themselves down to them. They turn aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. Judges chapter 8, verse 27. Gideon made it into an ephod and placed in it his city Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there, so that it became a snare to Gideon and his household. Go down to verse 33. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20. For long ago I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, but you said, "I will not serve." For on every hill, every high hill, and under every green tree, you have lain down as a harlot. Look at how God describes sins of Israelites. It's like saying, you know, she played a prostitute with any man just passes by. Under every tree, under any high ground, they play the harlot. Chapter 3, verse 1. God said, if a husband divorces his wife and she goes from him and belongs to another man, will he still return to her? Will not that land be completely polluted? But you are a harlot with many lovers. Yet you turn to me, declares the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and sea, where you have not been violated, by the roads you have set for them like an Arab in the desert, and you have polluted a land with your harlotry and with your wickedness. This is God telling Israelites who are sinning against him. You know, if your wife goes to another man, will you take her back? But God says to Israelites, it's not just another man, many lovers. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to me, in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. Same kind of thing. So I'm not going to read. I was going to read up to verse 10. Just one more from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13, verse 27. As for your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your prostitution on the hills in the field, I have seen your abomination. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! How long will you remain unclean? You know, there are so many verses just like these that we just read. And I have a few more verses I want to read to you. How long-suffering our God is, it is truly amazing. You know, if I was God and Israelites did this, man, they're done. They're done in 5 minutes. And yet here God watches his people sinning, playing harlot, playing like a prostitute. And he has patience. And he continues to love his people. And he saves them through Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And listen to what God says here. This is just Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. And if you continue to read, he goes on and on. In terms of what goes on today, so many people come to worship. God is saying to them, don't come anymore. I'm sick of it. It's all about appearances. It's never about heart. They come even though they don't want to come. God says, I wish you stop coming. I wish you stop worshiping me because I know you're not. You just step on the my courts. You know, it's like just you come to the church and you step on this carpet and you just go. Again, patient God. I would not even say this to Israelites. I will just destroy them right away. They're not interested in worshiping God. Just like so many people who come to church, they don't care. They don't come to worship. God says to them, don't come anymore. I'm sick of it. Seriously, you have to take this very seriously. Because if you're not really worshiping and you're not interested in worshiping God, you're mocking God even as you come to worship. And don't think that God is begging you to come. He's not. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, after he says all that, he goes, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murders. Isaiah 57. Verse 3. But come here, you sons of sorceress, offspring of an adulterer and a prostitute. Against whom do you jest? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring or deceit? Do you understand the language here? Israelites mocking their God. It's like sticking out their tongue at him. Go, nedong. And that's exactly this so many churchgoers do when they come to church. You guys have to seriously listen to what God is saying. Ezekiel chapter 23. Again, same thing. I know times, you go home and read that. Ezekiel chapter 23, whole thing. And Micah chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. But what I want to do is this. I want you to understand that now in the old, that was the Old Testament, Israelites is addressing to Israelites, and some of the churchgoers think, oh, that's the Israelites, that's not me. Is that true? Only the Israelites play the harlot, and you don't. Is that what the Bible teaches you? Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read a couple, few verses, three verses from New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 4. Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation. Adulterous, the same word with this harlotry and prostitution. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah, what is that? Well, he was in the belly of fish three days. Then on the third day, he came out. It's pointing to Jesus' death. And after the third day, he's resurrected. So we have this sign of Jonah. That's all we need. And even when God gives this sign, so many churchgoers say, I want more signs. Show me. They're testing God. And so many churches today are into this seeking other signs. It's playing harlot. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous, this is Paul saying, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, Your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. So here Paul is saying, I want to present you as a pure virgin, but you play harlot. By doing what? By receiving false teachings. So we're trying to understand all those Old Testament passages is talking about Israelites playing harlot. But in terms of us today, what those verses are saying to us? If you are receiving and accepting false doctrines, you're playing harlot. If you're seeking all these signs that God doesn't give, you're playing harlot. One more verse, James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's talking about praying. You ask, but you don't get because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, meaning same thing, you prostitutes, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. So loving the world is playing harlot. And you might say to yourself, but I don't worship, I don't bow down to idols. Well, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 says, greed is idolatry. So do not think you are any different than the Old Testament Israelites. You love the world. You play harlot with the world. The harlot is completely destroyed. And that's what we read. Let us go back to our passage now. Revelation chapter 18, verses 21-23. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because of the nations were deceived by your sorcery. A strong angel. We saw him twice before in chapter 5, verse 2, and chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 5, it was about a book. Chapter 10 was about little book. And chapter 5, that book, it contains the sufferings of Christ. And chapter 10, that little book, was about sufferings of the church. Do you remember? It is sweet as honey in mouth, but in stomach it was bitter. All of them are the same angel, and he destroys the harlot who has persecuted the church and her Lord. He took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. Jeremiah 51, the Old Testament Babylon. This is how Old Testament Babylon is destroyed. and Jeremiah 51, verse 63. And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far the words of the Jeremiah. So we're looking at the same thing. Now the Babylon is being destroyed just like the Old Testament Babylon. It shows a sudden destruction. And what does it show? It shows, you know, thrown into the water, and it's the great millstone. It will never come up again. We will not see it ever again. And you need to understand Matthew 18, verse 6, which says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown in the depth of the sea. The world which persecuted the church is thrown into the sea. So will Babylon. Just like the great millstone that is thrown into the sea, the Babylon will never be able to come up again. And it says it will not be found any longer. And same kind of language you could find in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 26, verse 21. And do you know that this phrase, any longer, from verses 21 through 23, we find that phrase 6 times. Any longer, any longer. Now, if you go back to Old Testament, and which we don't have time to do so, destruction of Tyre, destruction of Babylon, destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's all the same. The languages are the same. What are we reading about here? No more sound. The common grace order stops forever. The life as we know it here on earth will end forever. Luke chapter 17. We'll just read that verse and try to finish it then. Luke chapter 17. Verses 26. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Yeah, the world will continue as if it will continue forever. People will buying things. People will, you know, getting married, and they will just live normal life as if this world will continue forever and ever. But Jesus will come back. And the life that we know it here on earth will be completely over. And this is what we're looking at. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and I don't have time to go into in detail what I have here because it will take so much time. Maybe next time when we begin, I'll deal with it a little bit then go on. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to understand. That you are not the harlot. Of course, we sin just like the non-Christian. But the gospel tells us that we have been washed with the blood of Jesus, and we have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now in Jesus Christ, just like what Paul has been telling us, we are holy virgin bride of Jesus Christ. You know, this is what amazes me. You know, I know how filthy I am. And when it comes to spiritual terms, I am a harlot. I'm a prostitute. And yet in Jesus Christ, I am able to stand next to him as a holy virgin. This is what Christ has accomplished. As if you never played a harlot. This is how you are able to stand before your husband, Jesus Christ. Yes, we have been betrothed to Christ already, and we are waiting for his coming to take us to his eternal home. And there will be an eternal feast, the heavenly banquet. And we will have a sweet heavenly fellowship with our eternal husband, Jesus Christ. And this reality has already begun. It is our present spiritual reality. So please, brothers and sisters, from these verses, you understand how this world will be completely destroyed. Do not have any hope in this world. Do not love anything of this world. That will be the most foolish thing you could do. And understand and believe that you are not the harlot who will be destroyed. You are the bride of Christ. And you must live as such. That is your reality. That is your identity. That is who you are in Christ. You cannot play harlot with this world and sin anymore. Your husband. You have been married to your eternal husband. And I think this is very important. That you must understand and know and believe that you are married already. Just like in our human relationship. Once you're married, you understand that you are aware of that fact that you are married. So you will not play harlot with other people. Well, these days, you know. So many people are, anyway, but you, it's so important that you know that you are married already. I know you girls, when you do get married, you know, before you get married, you look at many, many guys, you know, you want to choose one. So you look at many, many guys, but as soon as you're married, I know, You know the boundary now. You are aware of it. And you will not go over it. Just like it is very important for you to understand and know and believe that you are married to Christ. So that you will not play harlot with the world. He is your husband already. And we are waiting for his return. You remember Old Testament, you know, the custom of Old Testament wedding. There's engagement and they're legally married. But there's a waiting period. And during the waiting period, then the bride prepares herself. And when that period is over, then husband will come and take her away to his house. And they will consummate that marriage and there will be feast. And that's exactly what goes on right now. We are already married. There's engagement has already happened. That we are legally his wife. And right now there's a period of waiting. We're preparing ourselves. And one day he will come. Our husband will come and get us. And he will take us to his home and there we will be one spirit and there will be eternal feast. Listen to what your husband says to you. John 14 verse 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We hear your command to celebrate for the harlot is completely destroyed. But also we hear your command to celebrate because of our wedding, our marriage to your Son, Jesus Christ, our eternal husband. Oh Father, let us truly believe how we have been already married to your Son. And we are the virgin bride of the Lamb of God. And we are no longer able to play harlot with sin in this world. Let us, through our lives, through the life of this church, witness our heavenly reality. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.